we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Confederation of African Football trophies were lifted over the weekend in Accra and Kinshasa, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Raja Casablanca of Morocco saw off an attempted comeback by host AS Vita Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo to win the African Confederation Cup final, losing the second leg 3-1 but triumphing 4-3 on aggregate. Raja Casablanca had gone 4-0 up on aggregate in front of an 80,000 capacity stadium in the Congolese capital. The home side scored twice in the space of 2 minutes in the second half to suddenly awaken their slim hope of a remarkable comeback, but the Moroccan club held their nerve to see out the remaining 15 minutes. Staying with CAF competition, Nigeria won its 9th title in the Women's African Cup of Nations by beating South Africa in a penalty shootout in the final at the Accra Sports Stadium in Ghana. The game ended 0-0 after 120 minutes and the Nigerians went on to prevail 4-3 on penalties. Nigeria's coach is Thomas Danabi.
When we were like 60 minutes into the game, I had the feeling that we will score. I think we have the game under control and they just have a few counter-attacks. So I think we were closer during the 90 minutes to win the game than South Africa today.
Bayana coach Desri Ellis, though lost the final, she was still full of praises for her girls.
They say preparation doesn't guarantee you success, but it helps. But I've got to take my hat off to these bunch of ladies and gentlemen that was with us. They were super phenomenal. They were remarkable.
It was the 5th time South Africa has lost in a final, and Bayana is still searching for her first African title. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For more on Nigeria once again lifting the African Women's Football Trophy, here's reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra, Ghana.
Nigeria defeated South Africa 4-3 on penalties to win the 2018 Africa Women's Cup of Nations. A 75th-minute penalty missed by Asisat Lamina Oshola, and all playing time remains scoreless till the game went into penalty shootout. The game was very tactical with good touches exhibited by both teams, and the fans were so delighted and cheered the players throughout. Coach Uti Akinten is CAF Technical Director and member of FIFA and Ghana Football Association Normalization Committee.
They both played tactically well. South Africa seemed to have dominated the midfield during the first session. And then you saw that the Nigerians also fought back and they captured the midfield. I think South Africa was getting to the end. It seemed their fitness was failing them. So they started losing their passes and the Nigerians were becoming stronger. All said and done, it has been a wonderful game, defeating the final.
Nigeria fans at the Accra Sports Stadium jubilated their victory. Nigerian sports journalist Opatola Adewole of Scorer Magazine.
As a Nigerian, I feel excited. As a journalist, I'm also excited. And that is the fact that I think that the women's game is fast getting to where we expect it to be in Africa. Gone are those days when it used to be really, really dominated by Nigeria. Yes, Nigeria is still winning it, but you can see now that it's been by stroke of luck in recent times. Look at this competition particularly. They had to go into extra time and penalties in the game against Cameroon in the semi-finals and the final against South Africa, and they even lost to South Africa in the opening game of the group. So I'm really excited as a Nigerian and indeed as a journalist.
That was Opatola Adewole of Scorer Magazine. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori at the AOCON final game in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye watched the trophy-winning performance by the Super Falcons of Nigeria at a public viewing center near Lagos. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Hello, Sonny. Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. I'm at a public viewing center. Nigeria has just retained the trophy, and I want to seek the opinion of Nigerians on the match.
Exceedingly happy. I am a Nigerian, and I feel very good. These girls have always made us proud, and they have still done so very well for us.
I told them that Nigeria is going to win, and they won. So that's my final decision.
The play, the whole game.
The play was 50-50, but we are the king of Africa, and we won the match.
We are still the best in Africa.
We are the king of Africa.
Your reaction, sir?
Excellent! Perfect! We deserve it! We worked for it! We are the king of Africa!
It's not unexpected. It's strenuous. Too much emotion. But I'm glad it ended the way it ended.
Nigerian victory, we deserve it. First 90 minutes, Nigeria played very well. Extra time, Nigeria did well. And at the same time, penalty kick, Nigeria won the match. And I am very happy. We deserve it. We deserve the winning. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Nine times in the final. Out of nine, they've been successful. So it's a great achievement for the ladies.
In fact, it was marvelous. It was marvelous. This is exactly what we've been expecting. And it has come to happen for the ninth time again. The Super Falcons have done exactly what they used to be doing. So we are grateful to God, grateful to the team, and for all what they have done. We are so happy. Tonight we'll have a sound sleep. I believe Nigerians will be happy about what has just happened in Accra, Ghana.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Sonny, from the Public Viewing Center in Gowon State, a suburb of Lagos, this is Ayo Makimbonye sending it back to the sunny side of sport. Sporty greetings to you, Sonny.
And more sporty greetings to you, Iron Mike. That's Iron Mike Mbonye talking with happy Nigerian football fans at a public viewing center near Lagos. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. In the third place match at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament, Cameroon defeated Mali 4-2 in Cape Coast, Ghana. With the victory, the Cameroonian women clinched a berth at next year's Women's World Cup in France, along with Nigeria and South Africa. On the same day the Cameroonian women won their match, Cameroon football suffered a big loss. The Confederation of African Football stripped Cameroon of the hosting rights to the 2019 Men's Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Cameroon's government has described the CAF decision as total injustice, while some say it should act as an eye-opener for the government to solve the crisis that has destabilized the English-speaking regions for more than 2 years. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Night shift workers transport roofing material and seats to the Olembe Stadium on the outskirts of Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. It is here the government of Cameroon had announced the opening and closing matches of the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations would take place. Work supervisor Angèle Tamin says they are working nights and days so that the stadium should be ready by March 2019, 3 months before the official kickoff of the competition.
For the main stadium, all the structural elements are here, almost 100%. When it comes to, and obviously the installation, as you can see, it's extremely advanced, and the main stadium bowl will be finished in terms of structures. And as you can see now, it's not only foundations and columns, but you can see slabs that are ready.
Issa Chiruma, Cameroon government spokesperson and minister of communication, says the government has instructed all companies working on infrastructure projects for the football feast to continue as if CAF had not stripped hosting rights from Cameroon.
Cameroon has put in a creditable performance. It shall prove it to the entire world by completing with the same determination and on time the construction of this modern infrastructure belonging to the Cameroonian people, our country, which has written the pages of African football in bold letters, will not relent her effort in working with other African countries to develop football in our beloved Africa.
Issa Chiruma says Cameroon, a five-time African football champion, agreed to host the prestigious African event, even though CAF decided to increase the size of the tournament from 16 to 24 teams without asking its opinion. But during Friday's extraordinary meeting of CAF's executive committee in Accra, Ghana, the football body said the infrastructure was not ready. They also raised security concerns, especially in the restive English-speaking regions where armed conflicts have continued for more than 2 years, leading to deaths of more than 1,200 civilians, fighters, and military personnel, and leaving hundreds of thousands displaced. Gladys Matute, a 24-year English-speaking Cameroonian, says she is very okay with the decision to remove hosting rights from Cameroon until peace is negotiated in the restive regions.
We cannot be hosting an event when we know that the two English-speaking regions are not at peace, they are killing people. So it's good for the president to come back and sit and talk with the Anglophone regions so that there should be peace. Paul Biya should sit up and then there should be some peace talk.
Secondary school student Rose Gani says she expected CAF to withdraw the hosting rights a long time ago.
We are not surprised because embassies have been refusing their citizens from traveling to Cameroon, especially to the northwest and southwest. And also, we have the Boko Haram fight in the far north. Moreover, all the towns to host are suffering from insecurity. There is also fear that when the tournament will be going on, the Amazonian fighters might attack people in Yaoundé.
The 2019 finals will take place from June 15 to July 13, a change from the traditional January period. Cameroon had proposed 5 cities, Limbe, Bafoussam, Douala, Garoua, and the capital Yaoundé as competition venues. CAF says it has initiated an urgent and open call for a new host. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Thanks, Moki. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us now with a roundup of the weekend European club football highlights. And Prince says he'll once again be kicking off with Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Gabon international Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored 2 goals and set up another as Arsenal fought back to beat Tottenham 4-2 in a pulsating and heated North London derby at the Emirates Stadium. The 29-year-old lethal striker became the first Premier League player to reach 10 goals for the season after opening the scoring from the spot before Eric Dier and Harry Kane wrestled their club into the lead before halftime. Alexandre Lacazette and Lucas Torreira both got on the score sheet, but the highlight of the match was Aubameyang's second, a beauty strike from distance that left Spurs shortstopper Hugo Lloris standing. The win stretches the Gunners' unbeaten run to 19 games and lift them into 4th place in the Premier League table. Belgian forward of Kenyan descent Divock Origi scored a bizarre 96th-minute goal as a terrible Jordan Pickford error gifted Liverpool victory over Everton in the Merseyside derby played at Anfield Stadium. The late winner packed wild scenes at Anfield, with Liverpool's boss Jurgen Klopp charging into the centre circle to celebrate with goalkeeper Ellison Becker, who himself had produced a couple of brilliant saves to keep another clean sheet. The win consolidates Liverpool's second place on the table, 2 points behind defending champions Manchester City. Chelsea bounced back from their first Premier League defeat of the season to see off local rivals Fulham 2-0 at the Stamford Bridge, with goals from Spain's Pedro and homegrown midfielder Ruben Loftus-Cheek putting the gloss on a mixed performance. Pedro's strike was Chelsea's 1,000th Premier League goal, and they are the third club to reach the landmark after Manchester United and Arsenal. The Blues' victory means they are now unbeaten at Stamford Bridge in 14 matches in all competition, a run which stretches back to April.
Prince, let's stick with the Premier League. It seems like Jose Mourinho is failing to meet his own expectations of guiding Manchester United inside the top four on the table by the end of 2018.
That's right, Sonny. Remember, this is the same Manchester United club where for the last 25 years, finishing second has always represented an undeniable failure. In my own sincere analysis and opinion, Mourinho has actually underperformed because his reputation has always been built on creating teams with impenetrable defenses. But can you imagine after 14 games this season, Manchester United have already conceded an incredible 23 goals, the sixth worst record in the entire Premier League. Anyway, Manchester United had to fight back to draw 2-2 at relegation-threatened Southampton. Seeking their first home win, Southampton made a dream start with goals from Stuart Armstrong and Cedric in the first 20 minutes, but United fought back to level before halftime through Romelu Lukaku and Ander Herrera. United now find themselves 16 points behind league leaders City, who maintain their 100% home record in the league after seeing off a determined Bournemouth 3-1 at the Etihad Stadium.
Prince, let's go to France now. I understand top of the table PSG has seen the first blemish on its impressive record.
That's right, Sonny. Paris Saint-Germain finally dropped their first points of the French league season as Bordeaux held the visiting champions to a 2-2 draw and halted the longest winning run in Europe's top five leagues. Despite twice holding the lead with goals in either half from French forward of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe and Neymar, PSG were pegged back by an 84th-minute equalizer to see their perfect 14-match start to the campaign ended. Nevertheless, the results did little to change the picture at the top of the league, with PSG still sitting atop the table with 43 points from 15 matches, 14 clear of second place Montpellier, who scored two late goals to win at Thierry Henry's struggling Monaco 2-1. Olympique Lyon also rallied from 2-0 down to draw at Lille 2-2 and extend its unbeaten run to 9 games in all competitions. And in Spain, Barcelona moved above Sevilla to the top of La Liga's Gerard Piqué and Carles Elena scored to secure a 2-0 win over struggling Villarreal. Sevilla slid down to second place in the standings on 27 points after 1-1 draw at Alavés. Atletico Madrid are third in the table with 25 points, while Alavés are fourth with 24, 1 point above fifth place Real Madrid, who defeated Valencia 2-0 at the Santiago Bernabéu Stadium.
Prince, I know Cristiano Ronaldo authored another awesome performance over the weekend. Ronaldo scored the third goal to help Juventus score a 3-0 road victory against Fiorentina. Prince, let me have you gaze into your crystal soccer ball right now. Do you think Ronaldo will win a sixth Ballon d'Or trophy later Monday night in Paris?
It's highly unlikely, Sonny. My heart's with Real Madrid midfielder Luka Modric, and I'm hoping he will help end Ronaldo and Messi's decade of Ballon d'Or dominance, because they've both won the top prize 5 times each since 2008. You'll recall that the 33-year-old Croatian midfielder played an integral role in Real winning a fourth Champions League title in 5 years, and then skipped Croatia to their first World Cup final in Russia. And I just wanted to jog your memory, Sonny. Brazilian playmaker Kaká was the last player to win the Ballon d'Or other than Ronaldo and Messi, and he won it in 2007 when starring for AC Milan. Mo Salah, France World Cup winners Kylian Mbappe, Antoine Griezmann and Rafael Varane plus Brazilian skipper Neymar are also some of the shortlisted candidates for the Ballon d'Or. We wish all the contestants the best of luck, and we'll definitely announce the winner right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Prince Nesta. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni says his government will continue to fund various sports activities in the country. The president says sports help develop unity among people and they're an important source of revenue for the economy. Reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
Last week, President Museveni hosted members of different national teams, the Soccer Under 17 Uganda Cubs, the Sand Cranes, and the Crested Cranes, as the Uganda Women National Soccer Team is known, as well as the current World University Netball Champions, to appreciate them for their recent victories. The Uganda Under 17 qualified for next year's Under 17 Africa Cup of Nations after beating Ethiopia 3-1 in Tanzania, while the women's soccer team scooped bronze at the CECAFA Women's Championship in Kigali, Rwanda. The Sand Cranes emerged runners-up during the just-concluded Copa del Slam in Tanzania. Host Uganda upset favorites South Africa in Kampala to win the World University Netball Championship. The president told players and officials that his government is committed to funding these teams and demanded they equally perform well whenever they represent the country.
The NRM takes sports to be very important. Sports means a number of things. It means fitness. When you do sports, you strengthen your body and you are fit.
NRM stands for National Resistance Movement, the ruling party in Uganda. Mr. Museveni says sports also teaches perseverance and can help bring people of all aspects of life to live together in harmony. He says, aside from entertainment, professional sport helps earn revenues for both individuals and the country.
These days, sports has become a source of wealth. You can be rich through sports because it is an entertainment for which people pay. They want to watch. And for which clubs pay.
And the president had some advice for players.
When you're a sportsman, you need good food. You need to live a disciplined life. No alcohol, no smoking, no womanizing or whatever. Those don't go with sports.
It has become a culture for the president to host national teams whenever they are to engage in or after successful international competitions. The president recently gave Uganda Cranes $1 million in bonuses after they qualified for next year's AFCON championships. For the Sony side of sports, I am Magumi Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury both called for a rematch after their thrilling split decision heavyweight draw in Los Angeles, California. WBC champion Wilder thought he had knocked out Fury in the 12th and final round after a brutal right-left combination sent the towering Fury to the canvas.
I really thought I had him out of there. I hit him with the right hand and followed with the left hook. And everyone knows I got heavy hands and I hit hard. I literally seen this man's eyes rolling in the back of his head. When I seen Jack on the ground with him, you know, checking him, I'm like, it's over. You know, only God knows how he got back up.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know. I had a holy hand upon me tonight and brought me back. And I got a good fighting spirit, and, you know, I never say die. I get back up, and, you know, even in the 12th round when I got knocked down heavy, I got back up and probably won the round, fought back and wobbled him a little bit as well. So, listen, I'm not going to take anything from Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, the unbeaten WBC champion of the world. Great fighter.
Tyson Fury talking about WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. Even though he was knocked down twice in the fight, Fury thought he won the bout, and so did more than a few other ringside observers. Fury appeared to have the upper hand for much of the fight, but when all was said and done, one judge scored it 115-111 in favor of Wilder, another 114-112 to Fury, and the third had it 113-113. And we'll have more hard-hitting analysis and commentary later this week from Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. And that wraps up the December 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the role of political parties in Africa. Is there room for opposition political groups? Does the African citizen have a right to form an independent opinion? Those issues and more on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from the universities of Scotland and Kent studied and analyzed some of the world's oldest cave paintings at sites in Turkey, Spain, France, and Germany. They say their investigations reveal that rather than just being primitive depictions of humans and animals, the ancient cave art actually suggests that people from as far back as 40,000 years ago had comparatively advanced knowledge of astronomy than had been thought. The Scottish and English researchers say the animals depicted in the ancient art are actually symbolic representations of star constellations, which were used to signify dates and designate occasions such as comet strikes. The researchers who detailed their findings in a study published by the Athens Journal of History say this astronomical knowledge could have helped ancient mariners navigate the open seas, something that could have impacted migration paths of prehistoric humans. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.